Well, welcome, John and Kathy, to another episode of the Bonner Breakdown. You guys have been on before.
Thank you.
And we're really excited about the movement and some of the things that are happening in your world. So welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's good
Appreciate
to be here.
Appreciate you having us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's good. And you know, you guys have had a lot of stuff going on in your world, right? Lots of changes, lots of things happening. But we are now starting every episode off with what we call the Good Report. Right? Mm-hmm. And we do a cheers to the good report. So we'll let you share and then we'll do the cheers. Okay. So we'll let you share and then do the cheers. That way I'll say it again, Logan, so you can edit out the thwong from the
sorry.
Mic. No, it's okay. we'll do the good report and then we'll give a cheers to the good report. So what do you have that you think is a good report that we should be hearing about?
Well, it's news that some people know, but it's not really out there too much yet, probably. We have given official notice of retiring as pastors from the church.
Okay.
That'll be effective the 1st of July, but we'll still be co-directors of Helping Hands Healing Hearts.
Okay.
Until we can get the Good Samaritan Inn Homeless Transition Center built.
Okay.
And so we're in a time of transition right now with our ministerial intern, Hollis Stewart, who's now officially associate pastor.
Okay.
And will become the senior pastor, only pastor, when we leave in July.
In July, okay.
And, it's been such a blessing that Hollis has been there and has just felt the call to the ministry and is just stepping up to that. So we have been there 23 years. They're our family. We wouldn't want to leave them void. And so God has provided that void with Hollis. And so that's a major blessing. We couldn't really take this step without him. And so we're very thankful for that, for God's hand at work in that. And we're aging, and so we can't keep doing everything we're doing, but we are very committed to Helping Hands and Healing Hearts and the Good Samaritan Inn. So now that's where we can focus our energies.
Okay.
You know, so that's a good blessing that God
that's
is
great.
Working in our
yeah.
in
Wonderful.
Our lives.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. great. Well, I really am excited about your next season.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, you get entrenched in a community for so long. The what's next, already having a what's next, already having a new focus. You know, a lot of people hate retirement because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, but you guys got it all dialed in as far as how you're going to continue to serve the community. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my good report is I've got a friend in Vallejo, California, pastor, and I've gone down there several times and preached at his church, and just have done some ministry. Well, I got a call this week that one of the guys in the church makes custom suits. Okay, now this is an African-American church and they do suits right. Okay. Let me just say, like, I mean, you got those different color linings, I mean, the whole nine yards, and so they're going to be making me a suit. He's donating a suit for me, you know.
Oh, nice.
To make me a custom suit. So I'm like super excited about
that.
I think it's going to be great, and we're hoping to have them up soon.
Nice.
To do some ministry with us at Harvest. But it's fun to have you know, somebody say, hey, we want to give you several $100 in a suit. You know, it's great. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's nice to see that. The other thing that I think is really good is it's really nice to see our community continue to make its way through all the COVID everything and to make its way into a place now where it seems like a lot of the tension has gone down concerning that. Mm. And so I know it's still up pretty high for some, but it's good to see that people seem to be a little nicer, a little more amenable with each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm noticing a shift there, and people are starting to come out of their shell a little bit and stuff. And so I think it's a great report that our community started to turn the corner on that.
Chris,
just in our mindset and attitudes, you know.
I'm glad you kind of got over that bitterness and everything. You've been pretty nasty until recently.
It's been really hard.
Back to the suit thing, and now we can call you Super Suit.
Perfect.
I'm Superman. You'll be Super Suit.
There we go. There we go. Now, I'm sad you're retiring.
There might be a place there for you with your super suit.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you have to bring the suit in.
That's right.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of fun. So what we do is we say cheers.
Okay. Right?
Cheers.
Cheers.
We
do
a little glasses.
Chink over there. Chink, chink.
Cheers.
Awesome. And we'll take a little cheers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I feel better. All right. Feel better already.
You know, it's better when we do it together.
Yes.
That's
right.
You know, that's good. That's good. All right. So you guys are here. You're I called you guys in because you've been doing a fundraiser recently, and you've got a vision. And we talked a little bit last time you guys were on about the vision, but some things have started to come together. And you know, every time we move a little bit closer towards the thing that's in our heart to do, we need to celebrate that.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the Final Four, right? Like, I'm a huge Gonzaga fan. I'm watching NCAA basketball. And Mark Few is on the TV last night, and the coach of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And he says, that's another good report, by the way.
There you go.
You know, they have four teams from the West Coast in the Elite Eight.
Sweet.
Like, yes!
Sweet.
Yeah. So, but he said, he was in the press conference, and it was just a clip I saw, and he's like, you guys are so focused on the next thing. That's not what we do. We're celebrating the win now. Mm. Like, we have, if we don't take the time to celebrate the victories that we have now, then, because we don't know if we're going to have that next one.
Right.
We don't know if, like, if we don't take time to celebrate the fact that we're in the Final Four, you know, as a team, you know, then we're actually doing a disservice to the students. We're doing a disservice to the kids. So I know you guys are all focused on what's next, but we're celebrating. You know, I just thought that was a really cool thing. And I thought about that with today, like, oh, we should celebrate what's been happening for you guys in this process. So, give us a little bit of the history when I just did a big prep for the big reveal coming soon here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but let's, stop there. Let's pull back a little bit and look at what you're doing with Helping Hands Healing Hearts. Give us an overview of that, and then then we can jump into the vision on the Good Samaritan Inn. So,
well, with Helping Hands Healing Hearts, we have continued to be open during COVID and continue to serve. We were grateful we had an Inovia grant to help with financially with those who'd been affected by COVID.
Wow.
And so that was really a blessing. We remained open, and you know, we continue just to serve the clients. We have the clothes, the food, the shoes, the linens, the housewares, the furniture, and then we do some financial help. You know, we partner with St. Joseph's and Assembly of God and Salvation Army to help with rent and utilities, and we have phone cards and gas vouchers. So God's just keeping us going and serving those, and we just really we pray often at our volunteer meetings that we just want this to be such an atmosphere of the love of God when they walk through that door, that that's what they sense is just the love of God, that will draw them to Him. And so we've had a couple of clients come and say that, and that's going to be my story in our newsletter, that they know this is a place of prayer. So we've had a couple of clients like call or just come in just so that they can be prayed for.
Come on, that's great.
Because they know what the mission and atmosphere is of Helping Hands Healing Hearts.
Wow.
So yeah, we're just continuing on. We're up to 804 client accounts, you know, and we've I have my little stats here that we've served 1,703 adults and children over the past nearly 4 years now, and we've had 3,392 client visits, and we've had 7,512 volunteer hours. Wow. You know, so that's over cool. the last 4 years. But amazing. Yeah, we have about 17 regular volunteers, but so we couldn't do it without our volunteers. Absolutely. And they're really committed. Wow. And so we love our volunteers. So they're so great.
What's the primary need that you guys see? What's the number one thing that you see when people come in asking for help? What do they need? What do you find the biggest ask is?
Well, I think probably they come in, the biggest thing they come in is for clothes and food.
Okay.
You know, so that's the primary thing they get. And then, of course, we as far as finances, I think the primary thing they come in is for a gas voucher.
Okay.
You know, we have quite a few that they're just stressed out for very various reasons, and right. they got to get to work, you know, mm-hmm. and so.
Or a phone card.
Phone card.
Lodging is increasing quite a bit.
Lodging has been huge the last couple of months. People have had burnouts, and, you know, their places burned, that sort of thing. And so we've done more lodging in the last couple of months. You know, we do a couple of nights at a hotel. Uh-huh. This has been our most active time for providing lodging.
Wow.
So okay. People are homeless, yeah. You know, just for various reasons.
Do you think that most of those people are here, like local people that are homeless versus people just traveling through or from out of town?
Most of them are local. Yeah.
Most of them are local.
Yes.
Because that question does come up for me quite a bit. Like, wow, how many of these people are just from California or just from out of town, or they moved up here because of some thing, you know, so, but they're locals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been living here a long time.
Yeah. And they're in crisis. I don't know of any in this last couple of months of those people that we provided some lodging for. There were none of them that were out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's not a common pattern.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. So anyhow.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So with Helping Hands, Healing Hearts, you guys are serving a ton of needs out of that facility, and it's in the Church of God building there. The entrance is in the rear of the building off the alley.
Right.
What's the address?
Well, 221 South Division,
okay.
You know, so, but you have to, go around to the back. Mm-hmm. But I do want to emphasize, it is in our church, but this is a joint ministry of Sandpoint Area Churches.
It absolutely
we
is,
There's no way Sandpoint Church of God could do this by themselves. This is a joint ministry. We have 10 supporting churches, and then we have 6 other churches that help with food, and then we have three partnering churches, you know, that we partner with to help with financial needs. And so that's 19 churches that are involved in this ministry.
That's amazing.
It is a joint ministry of Sandpoint area churches.
Yep. I know this last year we decided to give a percentage
of
everything we do at Harvest to you guys, and you know, doing our food drives from time to time and stuff, which has just been a huge blessing.
We're still waiting for your pouches.
Them ready.
I'm getting ahead of you. Slow down. Why you gotta be pointing the finger?
No.
Oh my goodness, John.
No, he already said he's got them ready. Yeah, coming. They're coming.
They are. Yep. So. When we look at you look at the needs, right? You look at all the different challenges, the struggles that you have to deal with all the time. How much of that is spiritual? Right. Like, and I think that, you know, a lot of us people of faith tend to look at things through the lens of spirituality. Secularly, we look at the lens of services and services provided and that kind of stuff. So you guys have really dipped into both worlds. You're not just monolithically a spiritual outreach. You do provide some opportunity for counseling and prayer, but you also are dealing with the secular on the ground. You know, meeting the needs, you know, just in the sense of there's just this big issue in their life and you're trying to meet that. So how would you kind of look at that and go, what's the spiritual component of all this?
You know, I don't mean to say this as just like a glib or blanket. Really, all of it is. Mm. Because when they come in, you know, it's really... our goal is to help people open their eyes to more of the spiritual realm. And I think that is just such a need. And actually, it is a challenge because some people are real open to it, but some people are just, no, you know.
And that's okay.
So, and that, and we don't turn anyone away just because they don't want hear the spiritual aspect. We're there for every single person that has a need. And so we all are. But, you know, 99.9% of it, people are coming in. Of course, we see people in crisis times. You know, they're coming in because they lost their job. They're coming in because they got evicted. They're coming in because, you know, they had a huge car repair and now they can't pay their electric bill. Or they're coming in because they just got out of jail and they don't have any clothes, you know, all of those. So all of those really stem from spiritual issues. And so we try our best to meet those. We have offer classes and that sort of thing. And people don't take advantage of them as much as we would hope. But we do, you know, we plant as many seeds as we possibly can. And we just pray for those seeds to produce fruit in the lives of the people. You know,
you can't do much more than that.
You know, that, that is, we are definitely seed planters.
Cool. Cool. Now, when you look at the support that you're getting in the community, you know, how would you describe that outside of the churches? Is there support from you? Just generally, I noticed you got a grant from Inovia. You mentioned that, but which is awesome, you know, that they're given to a faith-based ministries. It's phenomenal to see them do that. But what kind of support do you get outside of the church community in Sandpoint?
Well, if you are, if you're talking about financial support, most of our financial, I would say 99% of our financial support is from within the church community. But we consider ourselves partners with other agencies in town. And so, for instance, yesterday I met with the Bonner Homeless Transition Task Force Board. And so we were talking about the Good Samaritan Inn, and they, you know, they were asking about that, and I emphasized to them, this is our heart. We want to come alongside of those. It's not that we want to repeat whatever they're doing.
Well, there's just not enough.
So we want to come alongside and collaborate and partner with them because, for instance, they don't serve single men, or they have waiting list, or like one of our lodging provisions was for a gal that was going into Blue Haven, but there were a few days before a place would open. And so we provided the lodging for that. We consider ourselves partners with those agencies in the community. It's not that because we're faith-based, we're just going to be in our little world. No, we are partners with all of who are concerned to make our community, Sandpoint and Bonner County, a better place to live.
That's great.
And a place of compassion for others.
But also, Chris, just real quickly, we have over the last 4 years increasingly seen, we'll get unexpected donations from just out there, nobody we know.
Wow.
We don't even know if they're connected with a church. And I think people are starting to hear about the Good Samaritan Inn. We're getting gifts in just for that. That we haven't really solicited.
That's great.
And so that's been good.
Awesome.
It's been amazing. We had, before we before we did this fundraiser for Good Samaritan in the Samaritan's Pouch, we had last fall like $22,000 come in that people were just saying, you know, we heard about your ministry or whatever. And so we were just, you know, we've been, this will be 3 years. 4 years. But anyhow, that has never happened. And I think that it's just that that the word is out in the community of what we want to do. Yep. And so, yeah, so we are just excited about that.
Well,
and
that's great.
We just feel the hand of God's blessing on it.
Cool. Yeah. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great. So tell us about, you know, the vision that you kind of came up with concerning the Good Samaritan Inn. Tell us the background on that. Like, where did that come from, and how did it start?
Well, I'm talking mostly, but this is a vision that God has given to me. After we were open about 2-3 months, I was naive about the homeless in Bonner County, and
I think most people are absolutely naive to the homeless issue in our community. Yeah.
And we quickly realized, oh, there's a homeless issue. And so we tried a lot of things. Of course, we have had people in and out of our house. I don't know. We've kind of lost count since his mom died.
Right at 50 over the last 9 years.
Yeah. People that have come in and lived with us and then until they could get on their feet and that sort of thing. So that was what we were doing. Well, then we were trying to put trailers on the church property, and the city let us know that, oh, that's against their ordinances. And so we couldn't do that. We thought about putting taking a shed and making a studio out of it, but then there's too many that wouldn't supply the need. We have put people in a room in the church, and that has presented difficulties. We thought we'd make the parsonage garage into a little 4-unit studios, but then we had problems with the water and getting there. So it just boiled down. We've just got to build something.
Yeah.
And so it first started out that we would have this dream to build these studio apartments, but then we got to maybe 18 to 20. But then we got to thinking, you know, how are we going to fund this? And we don't want to keep asking the church for more thousands of dollars, you know, that it takes to run that kind of ministry. So then the next step in my dream was, you know what? The biggest need in Sandpoint is for 1-bedrooms or studio apartments.
Correct. Yep.
Because I've called around to the different apartment complexes, and there's like a year waiting list for that.
Yep.
And so I thought, so what we would do is we would build 20 studios and then rent those out, because we would be helping Sandpoint by providing that need. And then those studios would help the ministry in that the income from that could fund the ministry for the others. We would have 18 others. There would be a ministry manager apartment and then a day center. So our dream the vision has expanded, you know, and once, of course, with the expansion comes the expansion of cost. So we're looking at probably $1.5 million, you know, and so we are now in, it's a program called Essentials of Development. Our chairman of the board, ourselves, and a member of the board. Our chairman is Toby Walworth from New Song, and then also Barry Johnson, retired pastor from there. They are joining us in this training called Essentials of Development, and we have a coach who is coaching us in a campaign fundraiser, capital gains, no, capital a funds campaign. So she's coaching us in that. Awesome. And so
That's great to hear, though, that you're getting the support in the house.
Yeah.
You know, that's so critical. Awesome.
Yeah, that's through Idaho Nonprofit Center, and that's really a program of Murdoch Trust.
Okay.
And so anyhow, we're excited about that. And so she's giving us really good things. We're probably we want land in Ponderay. We have met with Bowdoin Architects, and they've been really good and helping us. And so they recommend Ponderay because it's land's cheaper, and the cost
to build and permitting and everything is
cheaper. So we're looking and we're hoping to get, you know, there's land right around there in Bonner Mall area back behind there. And so we're kind of looking at that area. We had our sights on 2 acres that someone got before us.
I know, I saw that. I was like, no.
So, yeah, so anyhow. Well, so, you know, but we're still knocking on doors, yeah. And, you know.
How do you feel about the timing of all this? You know, like, obviously there's pressure because the need, the demand is high. And, you know, you're obviously waiting for other people to pitch in and donate and that kind of stuff. And you're working on a capital fundraising campaign, you know, all of that kind of stuff. How do you feel about the timing?
We've had a lot of experience in waiting on God him saying, wait on me.
Wow.
Just depends. So I would say we're at peace with however long it's going to take.
Okay.
And, you know, we all kind of fight. We want it right now. Of course, the need is great, and
correct,
the sooner the better,
yeah,
all of that. God's aware of that. And so we're just doing what
he might be aware
can
of
do
it,
step by step, and
good.
Let him work it all out.
Okay. No, that's
I think,
great.
Too, if we had gotten the money and the land that we wanted right in the beginning, I wouldn't have understood the greater vision that God had for our rentals.
That's
and
cool.
So I just think as the time goes on, we understand God's given us a clearer vision of what would really make this work.
That's great.
And so he knows what it is. And so, yes, we're just waiting on him. And I'm thankful as the time goes because, man, I'm learning so much it makes me a little more experienced wiser to get this off the ground.
Okay, so let's recap the Good Samaritan program and phases. Just let's do a little recap. So the first thing that you would want to do is studio units, 18 or 20 units, 20 units that are market rent for studio, you know, by market. In other words, like you're just going to charge whatever the market charges for those. Are they going to be subsidized?
No, at this point, there's no plan for subsidy.
Okay, so you're not going through government entities to get that built?
No, we don't want our hands to be tied as far as the gospel.
The ministry side, that's understandable.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So at this point, no. But we do need to check into that. We've discovered that there may be some no ties attached government possibilities.
Yep.
So we're definitely open to that.
Yeah.
You know,
I just had two different ideas come in my head while we were talking.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are definitely open to that. We do want to be economical or discount rent price.
Okay.
It's not like
below market.
Right.
Rates.
We don't want to charge $600 or $700.
Right. You don't want to be, obviously these people that are either in crisis or they're in need of that type of facility can't afford $8,000 a month for a studio.
Right.
Or single
bedroom.
So
then,
yeah.
You know, how are we helping the community if we charge that?
Right. Because you actually have to be able to afford to live there and get ahead.
Right.
So at some point there's got to be a break for people in
order
for them to either save money, pay for their car, pay for their gas, keep their job. You know, I mean, that bubble, like we call it the Alice, you know, population. United Way did the Alice study of those people who are working, right? They're one paycheck away from crisis.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're one paycheck away from major catastrophe. You know, if they had one big emergency, they could lose their home, they could lose their car, they could lose their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, that's a very intense space to live in. And at some point, something's got to give.
Yeah.
Right? And
So it's not that we're out there to profit. We're just, so right now we're...
But the goal is, though... No, sorry to interrupt. The goal is, though, that fund, the money that comes in obviously pays for, if you take out loans or anything for that development, that help pay for those loans, but then the extra would go into the actual development of the, is it transitional housing type of units?
Well, originally we were aiming for transitional, but in talking with people, like yesterday with my meeting with the Bonner Homeless Task Force board, what they were presenting to me, and also Geraldine Lewis of the Catholic Church has also presented, that we need emergency housing.
Too.
So we will incorporate both. It depends on what the need will come to us, and then just the idea that we have had so many that we've put up in motels like the last couple of months. I just think God is saying, hey, you need to have this aspect too. So maybe two or three of our transitional living center units will be for emergency. Well, people who will just need two nights, three nights a week, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, we have the basic vision, but God is just giving us wisdom and guidance and understanding as the time goes on. And and when you talked about timing, I think that part of the waiting process is getting this larger vision and understanding what the need is and how we can supply that need, how we can be God's vessels of supplying it.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Okay. Great. Great. And then you are actively fundraising. You're actively doing these campaigns. What's that look like and how's that going?
Well, this good man here has been kind of in.
That term's loose.
Right? Careful, careful.
Use it, don't use it too quickly.
Yeah, I know he's ornery, but but he's such a he is really a good man. But he's kind of we've had nine churches that have handed out all these pouches.
Well, tell us about the pouches. What pouches are you talking about?
So, you know, from the story, the man that helped the good Samaritan that helped the man that was robbed, he took from his pouch and took him to an inn, and he took from his pouch and told the innkeeper, here's the money to take care of this man until I return. So we and February is the month of love, and so God Jesus told that parable in order to demonstrate how we should love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yeah.
And so during February, the month of love, we handed out these pouches to churches, and they fill those pouches and turn them into us so we can put those pouches in our bank account and take from that pouch, that bank account pouch, and help those in need that are in transitional periods of their lives. And so, yes, we've had nine churches participate. And he's been doing all the counting and the tallying.
I get to play with the money.
So anyhow,
that's dangerous.
Is dangerous. So, like we said, we had 22,000 come in last fall, but we have about how much now? We haven't had all of them turn in yet.
Well, I know. We'll turn ours in.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the only one. That's okay.
Your
church is not the only one.
It's not limited to February. We're extending.
Right, and that's why we gave people more time.
Other churches beyond the nine have said they're going to do something down the line.
Down the line.
May not be even with the pouches, but it doesn't matter.
But they're going to raise.
But yeah, presently we're right at 27,400 on the pouches only.
Wow.
Added to the 22 before. Wow. So we're right at 50,000.
Ooh, come on.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't it really that is just such a blessing.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. That's a good report. Cheers.
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 Cheers to the good report.
Cheers. That's a good report. Yes, it is. So
now, wow, that's awesome.
We are extremely grateful.
Yeah.
We're very thankful.
Wow.
And
Yeah, wonderful. One of the things that, you know, I know looking at fundraising and looking at that kind of stuff is that one of the ways that you spell vision is M-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's one of the ways that, because without the funding, the vision just sits there, right?
Uh-huh.
People actually will give into the vision of meeting need, helping those in need. And so say if someone's listening to this podcast or they're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, and you go, okay, that's kind of sparks my interest. How would somebody give to your vision?
Well,
give us a call and I'll give them a pouch.
No, just... but yeah, our Helping Hands website is qhsandpoint.org.
Okay, QH now, for yeah, Quad H quad, for yes, Helping Hands Healing Hearts. Yeah. Quad H, QH.
We couldn't
come on, let that stick in your mind mentally. Yes, QH. Right. Is it .org?
It is .org.
Okay, QH.org.
Yes. QH Sandpoint.
Oh, QH Sandpoint. I thought you said, okay. QHSandpoint.org. QHSandpoint.org.
Yes.
We'll say it one more time just so people, together, when they're thinking about it later, okay. Everybody now.
It's QHSandpoint.org.
Oh, that was even in harmony.
Ooh, beautiful.
Right, man, right, I felt right, like we just, yes, we just, you know, are standing in the glass cathedral in the choir.
And of course, there's a give tab on there.
Okay.
So,
great.
Yeah. And on the give tab, there's give to Helping Hands. But then below that, there's a button you can give to the Good Samaritan Inn. And then there's a Good Samaritan Inn tab that you can scroll down and give. There's the link there.
Or they can just send it in the mail.
Yeah.
We get that quite a bit.
And the address is on the website.
221 South Division.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right there to the church. Okay. Yeah. Great. Great.
Yeah.
All right, we're looking ahead. What's obviously you're raising money outside of dollars for the Good Samaritan Inn. What do you need?
Well, we are going to need a ministry manager.
Okay, but don't you want to get to the land first?
Oh, well, I thought we were beyond that point.
Yeah,
but,
no, I mean,
but in order to get where we want to get,
right,
our first step is land.
So now that's a great point, John, because
perhaps that is a good choice.
Perhaps someone is listening.
You know, I had a great conversation with Linus
Jelinek
in here, and she was on our last show.
Yeah,
and we were talking a little bit about some of the resources that have been flooding into our area from all over the nation.
Mm.
People who are moving up here who are actually quite wealthy, that are able to buy 2 or 3 homes up here and not even bat an eye, you know? I mean, we just kind of like, wow. But there's something around the fact that with those people that are moving into the area, they do have gifts, they do have talents, and they do have maybe a capacity to support, to donate land or to help purchase land for some of these causes. Because, you know, everyone moved up here because they love it up here.
Yeah.
And what is it that sets Sandpoint, what sets Bonner County, Boundary County, North Idaho apart is the people, right? And if we can't support the people who are here that drew everyone up here, you know, if we can't do that, then we're doing a huge disservice to this community. Yeah. I think a lot of people actually will see, like, are seeing that, you know, like, oh, actually, there are real needs here. This isn't Mayberry. This isn't the idyllic utopia of a town. You know, in how, and Mayberry's not the right, because we don't, number one, we don't live in the South in the 40s and 50s, you know, but, you know, the idyllic town idea, you know, the thing that makes it idyllic here is the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and a lot of them moving here are probably coming from places where homelessness has already been a huge issue.
Right.
And they would like to maybe help this community not become that way.
Absolutely. So we just really would urge somebody, if they feel like helping with land, do it. Right.
Yeah. So land, we cannot move forward unless we have the land, because we have to have
the location
in order for our architects to even design. Land right now is huge for us.
Okay. So that's priority one.
Yeah. When we want 2 acres in Ponderay near the bus route, 3 acres would be ideal, but a minimum of 2 acres in Ponderay near the bus route. So wherever that is, God knows.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's a next question with that. Other than land and other than money, what do you need?
Well,
you mentioned a ministry
person. So I was thinking, okay, so let's say we're all ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we are going to need an executive director and then a ministry manager.
Mm-hmm.
So a ministry manager would be the one who would live on site.
Okay.
And then the director would be the one who would be over all of that program. We hope we will aim to have volunteers, because we want to have classes, life healing choices. We want to have Bible study, conflict resolution, you know, budgeting, healthy lifestyle,
right.
Eating, even hygiene. Some of them need hygiene.
Sure.
And then we will partner with Bonner County agencies, with counseling, North Idaho Mental Health,
okay.
And with the job service as far as job training,
great.
Those sort of things. So, yeah, we're going to need volunteers. We're going to need a director. We're going to need a ministry manager. Yeah, so we are just trusting the Lord for all of those.
Okay.
Someone who wears a super suit would be nice. Yeah.
Don't know anybody like that.
Okay. Maybe in the future someone will walk around with a super suit.
So it's really interesting to me because I do think that churches need to pull their head up and look up at what they have, because there's actually a lot of churches with land.
Mm.
Just saying, I know we've got land, you know, like I'm thinking, I wonder, you know, we're a ways out, but you know, I think, you know, for landowners, and I feel like I should just say this, landowners need to consider the legacy of their property.
Right.
You know, we need to consider the legacy. What are you going to leave? What are you leaving on that? Now, obviously family first, right? Like we get that, you know, that's great, but there might be a couple acres on your property that, could absolutely change the lives of thousands of people in this community over time.
Mm.
You know,
yeah,
and the reality of that, the reality of that should hopefully sink into some people's hearts and minds. Like, you know what? It's bigger than the dollar bill.
Right.
Right. And it's bigger than even, you know, for some people, it's a very small piece to make a really, really huge impact.
Yes.
So.
And so that is our heart and our mission, to impact the lives of people that come through the Good Samaritan Inn. And even in the rentals, we want to impact their lives as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Cool.
So that's our heart. That's what we're all about.
That's great.
And we are praying that the Lord will put it on someone's heart to
absolutely
give the land.
I think the more opportunities that you guys have to shout this vision from the rooftops, the more money's going to come in.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, how can they give if they have not heard?
Right.
So, yeah.
So we appreciate this opportunity to speak out our vision and
One of the things I absolutely love about the Good Samaritan story is where it's at in Scripture, right? Because it directly follows the sending out of the 72.
Yeah.
Okay, and that, I mean, it's like, okay, so Jesus sends out the 2x2, 35 teams, sends out 70, 35 teams, sends them out, and they're to do four main things. They're to bless people, right? Go from speak peace to the house, go in, eat with the people, fellowship with them, and then heal them, right? Like if anyone's sick, if anyone has need, then heal them. And and for us, that's like, oh, you meet the need, right? So you bless them, you fellowship, you build relationships, you meet their need. And then after all that's said and done, you say, oh yeah, the kingdom of God just came near you. Do you want to get in?
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of how that, but then what's the next thing that he shares after they come back? He says, hey, the kingdom of God is like this. Right? And he shares the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, and I just always found that connection very interesting, that he actually buttons up missionaries, right, on the way to Jerusalem, right? Yeah. Buttons it up. This is the week, right? We got this, actually, this episode is airing on Good Friday. So on the afternoon.
Oh, and wow.
Yep. So I think what a great placement.
You know, so, wow, thank Chris, you. I've never put that together, and light bulbs are just going off in my mind. Oh. So that is amazing.
Luke 10.
Yes.
Luke 10. Yep.
So I don't know if you've ever heard of David Barton on Wall Builders.
I have,
but I listened to a message that he gave, and as he was coming to the end, he said, in this world, in the day and age in which we live, the way that we are going to win people to the Lord is one-on-one. And, you know, he was just saying that we really...
Wow, some people need to hear that.
Yes. And so in being the Good Samaritan Inn, there will definitely be a lot of one-on-one.
Yeah.
And so that's the way in which we want to help people to see what the kingdom is for them,
okay,
and what the gospel, the good yep. news is for
yeah.
them,
yeah.
and do that one-on-one. Ken Ham, I think it is, wrote a book about the gospel in this day and time, and he was comparing Acts 2 to, I believe it's Acts 17, where in Acts 2, thousands, you know, like 3,000, mm-hmm. 5,000 came to the Lord, you know, in one day. But the deal was, they already had the background, they had the law, they had the understanding. It's like they were primed,
mm-hmm.
primed at the pump. But in Acts, I believe it's 17, where Paul, he wasn't winning that many at once to the Lord, because there wasn't the background. There needs to be the teaching. There needs to be the understanding. There needs to be the lights that go on before the commitment is made. And so we're kind of in that day and age where
That's
people are no longer have that background, that biblical background, that
sure.
biblical understanding.
Yeah.
And so we have to be more on a one-on-one relationship in which we share that and teach that and share that understanding and open their minds to seeing that
wow.
for them to embrace the good news of the gospel and the kingdom of God.
I think about Acts 17. It's very interesting because at the end of Acts 16, you see the, you know, Paul's in Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's, you know, he really wanted to go into Asia,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Holy Spirit said, no, yeah. don't, not your time. And so he gets kicked out of the synagogue, right? He gets kicked out from teaching in the church of that time,
uh-huh.
right? In the religious setting. And he goes to this place called the School of Tyrannus,
mm-hmm.
which was a secular place, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the four walls of what he was
right.
used to religiously,
mm-hmm.
right? Just putting the analogy out there,
yeah.
okay? But what happened? He stepped outside the four walls, began teaching, training, doing stuff in the School of Tyrannus, and the next verse says that within 2 years of that, all of Asia heard the word of the Lord.
Oh.
Amen. Right? You know, so from a spiritual perspective, and I don't want to get too focused on that in the podcast today, which I enjoy the conversation a ton. But, you know, the reality is that when we meet needs on the ground, people get to encounter what it means to experience the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's going to take a lot of different forms for different people.
Right.
People are going to define that differently.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, when we live and walk and breathe in that, it makes it really easy to go, you know, hey, this amazing thing happens on Sunday where this guy named Jesus raises from the dead, right? Which is kind of the foundation of all Christianity,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yet at the same time, we can just be here on the ground and just love on people,
mm-hmm.
minister to them, regardless of how they
mm-hmm.
respond to the message,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of any of that. We're not the ones who get to judge that.
Right.
You know?
Their
so,
response is up to the Lord. Our response is just to
serve.
To serve and share.
Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So
yeah.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
It's exciting
yes,
stuff. So we're looking at the Good Samaritan Inn, and just so that people who are listening to the podcast, you know, this is really, I've moved, away from, you know, any real sponsorships, because I'm just me and I just am going to be me. Right. So part of that is the faith component for me. It was a huge part of my life. Part of it is I really care about this community and I want to see it thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, I'm political as well. So we'll have political conversations on here. And I'm just going to be myself and go after that stuff. So I'm not worried if people like it or not. We don't have sponsors, on the show, you know, other than me. You know, the reality is that, you know, in order for this community to shift, we have to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? We got to know not just the nasty story, not just the things that are the, you know, frustrating thing about what's happening with the asphalt plant, or what's happening with this political party or this new law or what, like, all of that's good. We have great journalists in the area that are working at the Bee, working at the Reader, that are putting together stories, and that's not the purpose of this show. You know, my main goal is to have a good report and then dive into who are the people and what is happening in this community that needs celebrating and needs supporting, mm-hmm. and what's the stories that we need to hear, mm-hmm. And what's the history that we need to hear, all that kind of stuff. So, the focus of the show's shifted a bit, but it is exciting, to see, you know, all the great things that are happening here. Just like what you're doing is amazing.
Well, I'm from Ohio, but
did you say Ohio?
No, she said Ohio.
Okay, I tried to learn to say Ohio instead of Ohio, you know, but anyhow, I'm from Ohio. I was born and raised there.
Sorry. Yeah.
One of the reasons I fell in love with her.
Oh, yeah.
The way she pronounced Ohio.
But you know, I really feel like I've become an Idaho person, person from Sandpoint. I love Sandpoint. I really do. Mm. And we've been here for 23 years now. And so that's half of our married time, mm-hmm. that we've been here. And so, you know, I've always said that we brag to our relatives that in 2012, Sandpoint was designated, mm-hmm. the most beautiful small town in America.
Yep.
And I believe it's beautiful and I love its beauty. But I also believe that Sandpoint can and will be and even is the most compassionate small town in America. Wow. There's a lot of love and compassion here. And
it.
I love this town and I love their giving. Sandpoint is a beautiful small town. It's a compassionate small town, and I want to be a huge part of that compassion that is given out to the people in need in this area. And so I just love Sandpoint, and I want to be a part of making it that compassionate small town.
Come on, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so great. Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. Good. Well, I mean, that's a great way to close our time together. John, any thoughts?
I'll just say amen.
Okay. Good. So be it.
So yes. Be it.
Right. Right. So awesome. Well, great. We appreciate having you on. Thanks for being on the program. And like I said, this will be coming out on Friday, 4:00. And it's anywhere that you can get podcasts, anywhere that you can watch a podcast, Facebook, YouTube. We might have to figure out how to get the video on Spotify, because Spotify is doing video now. So we'll figure that out. But, you know, right now, if you listen, continue to download, hit the bell, like, share, all that stuff really helps us grow our audience. So when you get it, make sure you share it out. So I'll make sure you guys get it. So
thank you,
awesome.
Chris. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. One last note. I will be doing a review of this episode on what are called my afterthoughts. And I do that on patreon.com, and that is a subscription-based platform. So for people that are subscribers, and we value our subscribers, it helps kind of pay for the show itself. So our subscribers, you can start at $5. You can give as much as you want, but we ask that people subscribe to support the show. And part of that is they can have live Q&A with me following each episode. We will put that out there, and they get a little preview of this episode along with the live Q&A with me as I give my afterthoughts on the program itself. So that's on patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown. So with that, that'll be coming out soon. And so if you're listening, go to patreon.com and support the show. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Right.
Thank you again.
Okay. So
have a good one.
You
too. Yeah. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find out more about this podcast at BonnerBreakdown.com. You can also support this show and get personal video updates and thoughts from our host at patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown.